RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, Headline News and News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesian government forms task force to raid fake degrees. Indonesian House must respect government's decision on constituency fund. Red tape hampers government spending on infrastructure projects. Now the news in detail. The Research and Technology and Higher Education Ministry is set to establish a task force aimed at cracking down on the issuance of fake degrees following recent report of higher education institutions conducting such illegal practices. Research and Technology and Higher Education Minister Muhammad Nasir said the task force would comprise his ministry, the National Police, the Attorney General's Office, and the Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform Ministry. All of related parties have agreed to establish the task force. Nasir said recently, escorted by Antara News Agency. He said the planned task force would conduct verification on degrees received by civil servants, House of Representatives lawmakers, and provincial legislative council councillors. The police had been investigating report that some lawmakers had obtained fake degrees. The ministry, meanwhile, has frozen dozens of private higher education institutions for a number of reasons, including the issuance of fake diploma. Entering the deliberation of the 2016 state budget, the House of Representatives of Indonesia has started to rally support for a constituency fund plan that will give each lawmaker control of 20 billion rupiah to finance their respective electoral district. In a vision of legitimizing pork barrel practices, the funding has been deemed controversial as it has granted authority to each member of the legislative institution to execute programs without the approval of the government. The nature of the budget disbursement, which is planned to be allocated directly to each constituency, is also against the law on development planning protocol, raising concerns on the funding's accountability in the future. Political analyst Hanta Yuda of the Poll Tracking Institute said on Sunday that the government had made the right decision by expressing its objection to the House's plan due to staggering social and economic conditions in the country, in addition to nationwide public dissatisfaction over the performance of political parties. Hanta said President Joko Widodo should close the door for the House to run with the program by formally rejecting the plan as soon as possible. The rejection should be made before the 2016 state budget is officiated into a draft bill in August. The government has spent only 8% of its infrastructure budget in the first 6 months of this year due to red tape, failing to provide a much-needed boost to Indonesia's slowing economy. Ministries and various state institutions have so far spent 23.2 trillion rupiah or 1.7 billion US dollar of the 290.3 trillion rupiah allotted for 2015, Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said over the weekend. He added that President Joko Widodo's decision to merge and split some ministries last year has further complicated the process of planning and auctioning projects, delaying spending. Joko chose to merge, among others, the Public Works Ministry with the Public Housing Ministry in order to streamline bureaucracy. Annie Sriartati from the Institute for Development of Economic and Finance in DEF said that ministries have yet to clear up issues related to land clearance and environmental problems. The National Development Planning Agency, BAPENAS, estimates that spending the 219 trillion rupiah earmark for infrastructure could add 0.6 percentage points to Indonesia's gross domestic product growth this year. Sumba Expedition 2015 will be held by HIFOS, an international human development organization based in the Netherlands, on August 29th until September 12th, 2015. The fourth expedition will be participated in by four Indonesian and the Netherlands representatives who passed the selection. The participants will stay together with the people of Sumba for a week. Green Energy Project Manager, HIFOS Southeast Asia, Sandra Winarsa on Sunday in Jakarta said that Sumba Expedition is a campaign program for renewable energy. The program calls on young Indonesians to have strong commitment to campaign for the needs of renewable energy in Sumba Island, East Nusa Tenggara.
Program ini merupakan bagian dari program besar Sumba Iconic Island.
This program is part of a big Sumba Iconic Island program, which has the target of 100% of renewable energy on Sumba Island in 2025. So this is a public active participation. The program belongs not only to the government, the private sector, or as international NGO, but also to young people who care to the sustainability of energy access, especially in the remote islands, in form of participation in this expedition to travel around Sumba Island. Sandra further said that Sumba Expedition also aims to raise awareness of people that many regions in Indonesia still do not have access to the electricity. After participating in this expedition and return to their respective regions, the participants will create a renewable energy campaign. They are also raising funds for realization of renewable energy facilities for Sumba people. Therefore, according to Sandra, this expedition is not only looking for young people for free traveling, but looking for those who are committed to help significantly. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Ketapang Regency Administration has started to develop investment in food sector by opening cassava plantations and tapioca flour factory. Alexander Wilyo, the head of Economy Division at the Ketapang Regional Development Planning Agency, BAPEDA, said that Chinese-based company PT Tianyuan Agriculture Technology Trading has submitted an application to operate cassava plantation in Ketapang, West Kalimantan. Alexander said recently, the Ketapang administration would also allow domestic investors to apply for the permit since the government has initiated a program to increase investment in food resilience. Alexander revealed that Ketapang Regency aimed at optimizing idle lands to improve people's welfare and to boost regional revenue. A railway connecting downtown Jakarta to Soekarno-Hatta International Airport will be open to the public in September 2016, according to state railway operator Kereta Api Indonesia, KAI. Despite a late start to construction, the project is on track to finish on schedule, said Hankoro Budi Wiryawan, Kai, Managing Director of Logistics and Development. Hanggoro told reporters over the weekend that the groundbreaking ceremony will take place in September, 2 months later than the initial plan. Still, he was confident the 2 trillion rupiah or $149.7 million project will finish in a year. Both Kai and its subsidiary Railing have secured more than 2 trillion rupiah or $149.7 million in syndicated loans from Bank Mandiri, Bank Rakyat Indonesia, and private lender Bank Central Asia to finance the project. Kai already has the rail and the railway tie prepared. The last item, based on the Economist Intelligence Unit projection, Indonesia and Mexico are predicted to replace the position Russia and Italy as part of 10 countries of the world's biggest economy. According to the Intelligence Unit, it needs 35 years for both countries to merge with China, United States, and India. As quoted by Republika, the Economist Intelligence Unit evaluated Asia will be able to contribute about 35% of the global domestic products in 2015, with a decrease of contribution from Europe. But the increasing of productive population occupied by Africa and the Middle East. Meanwhile, the number of labor in most of European society and East Asia will decrease. China and South Korea are predicted to have labor contracting of about 7 to 18%. On the other hand, the number of labor in Greece, Portugal, and Germany are predicted to decrease till more than 5th. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian government forms task force to rate fake degrees. Indonesian House must respect government's decision on constituency fund. Red tape hampers government spending on infrastructure projects. That was the news.
Malaysia violates Ambalat border again. Ambalat is a vast sea block covering 15,235 square kilometers located in the Sulawesi Sea and the Makassar Strait or near the extension of the land border between Sabah, Malaysia and East Kalimantan, Indonesia. It is called a sea block based on the underwater exploration and marine wealth in the region, particularly in the field of oil mining. Although not all parts of the sea block is rich in crude oil. Not long ago, for the ninth time, in the period from January to May 2015, some Malaysian ships and aircraft have violated the border in Ambalat. Whereas, until now, Ambalat is still in status quo. The island, which is clearly belongs to Indonesian territory, referring to the United Nations Convention on Law of the Sea or UNCLOS, was somehow also claimed by Malaysia based on unilateral boundary lines they created. Tarakan Airfield Commander, Lieutenant Colonel Aviator Tiopan Hutapea, has reported the incident of a foreign aircraft entering the airspace over the Ambalat as monitored by Radar Unit 225 Cossack to Kohanudnas in Tarakan, North Kalimantan. Apparently, it needs more firm actions to stop the incident from the recurrent and force them to respect the Continental Boundary Agreement signed in 1969. The report on the border encroachment has frequently submitted to the Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security, Tejo Edi Pujianto, and Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi. TNI Commander Muldoko hopes the report will be followed up as a form of protest against the country that did it. Meanwhile, TNI Commander General Muldoko and Commander of the Malaysian Armed Forces have recently agreed not to bring down troops in Ambalat, but the issue will be resolved in diplomatically. The Indonesian government has also tightened the monitoring and the maintenance of the land, sea and air border area, as well as placing aircraft with a base camp in Tarakan Air Base, North Kalimantan. On the other hand, TNI Commander General Muldoko stated that TNI is currently seeing a great potential for conflict in the Natuna, Riau Islands, rather than in Ambalat, North Kalimantan, due to the expected change of the situation in the South China Sea that have the potential for instability. Natuna has become the sea demarcation point for Indonesia, Malaysia, Cambodia, and Vietnam. This region is known to be rich in oil and also gas. It is also a busy shipping route which connects major ports in the north, such as Hong Kong, Taiwan, Korea, up to Japan and Singapore to the south. Whatever happens, Indonesia as a sovereign state must demonstrate its existence and authority so as not to be underestimated in other countries. That was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Julian History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on June 29, 1993, where National Family Day was commemorated. National Family Day is an annual event which has been held since 1993. This commemoration becomes a symbol of appreciation for Indonesian families who have actively participated in family planning program, which limits the childbirth in a family. The ideal number of children in a family is 2 children. Through the commemoration, it is hoped that Indonesian family can improve their quality of life. And the next event was in 1976 when Seychelles gained its independence. Seychelles is an archipelago in the Indian Ocean. The Seychelles was uninhabited throughout most of recorded history. The British contested control over the islands between 1794 and 1810. Jean-Baptiste Coup de Quincy, French administrator of Seychelles during the years of war with the United Kingdom, declined to resist when armed enemy warships arrived. Instead, he successfully negotiated the status of capitulation to Britain, which gave the settlers a privileged position of neutrality. Britain eventually assumed full control upon the surrender of Mauritius in 1810, formalized in 1814 at the Treaty of Paris. Seychelles became a crown colony separate from Mauritius in 1903. Elections were held in 1966 and 1970. The country gained its independence in 1976 as a republic within the Commonwealth. And the last event was in 1995 when the space shuttle Atlantis made 7 straight flights to the former Russian space station Mir. The space shuttle Atlantis was a space shuttle orbiter belonging to the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, the Space Flight and Space Exploration Agency of the United States, constructed by the Rockwell International Company in Southern California and delivered to the Kennedy Space Center in Eastern Florida in April 1985, Atlantis was the 4th operational and the 2nd-to-last space shuttle built. Its maiden flight was STS-51J from October 3 to 7, 1985. Beginning in 1995, the STS-71 Atlantis made 7 straight flights to the former Russian space station Mir as part of the shuttle Mir program. STS-71 marked the number of firsts in human space flight, 100th in U.S. manned space flight, first U.S. shuttle Russian space station Mir docking and joint on-orbit operations, and first on-orbit change out of shuttle crew. When linked, Atlantis and Mir together formed the largest spacecraft in orbit at the time. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's focus entitled
Indonesian aid to Pakistan and anticipation of possible heat wave in the country. Listen, the death toll from heat wave in Karachi, Pakistan continues to increase. At least until Friday, June 26, more than 1,000 people have died from the worst hot weather that struck Pakistan in the past 35 years. Lack of water and electricity exacerbate the impact of heat waves in Sindh province. About 20 million people who usually have cool weather of the sea breeze had to face extreme temperatures up to 45 degrees Celsius. The heat wave that hit Pakistan, called Panasama wave, also occurred in India last May. At that time, nearly 1,700 people died from exposure to the air temperature, which reached 48 degrees Celsius. The government continues to monitor and follow the development of the state of all Indonesian citizens who are in Pakistan. It is hoped that there will be no casualties among them as a result of the heat wave. Spokesman of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, said that Indonesian government would provide assistance to the government and people of Pakistan in accordance with their needs.
Terkait dengan ini ya, gejala panas di Pakistan.
Related to the heat symptoms in Pakistan, we continue to follow developments there. As of today, Thursday, June 25th, we haven't received reports of casualties among our citizens. We hope there won't be any, but we will continue to follow up and inform if there is progress in this regard. About the Indonesian assistance, until today, we continue to see roughly what they need, and if indeed we can help, of course we will provide assistance according to the needs required by Pakistan. According to Armanata Nasir, although the Pakistani government has not officially requested the Indonesian government about the kind of assistance needed, yet it has prepared all forms of aid that will be delivered to the people of Pakistan. A senior official of a charitable organization, Edi Foundation, Anwar Kazmi, said the number of death toll due to the heat wave that hit Karachi, southern Pakistan, had reached more than 1,000 people until Thursday, June 25, 2015. According to Anwar Kazmi, body bags piled up on the government's hospital's floor due to the heat and many cooling units were not working well because of too many corpses. He expressed appreciation to the doctors and hospital staff who have been working tirelessly. Meanwhile, officials from the Indonesian Meteorology, Climatology, and Geophysics stated that high temperatures or heat waves that hit the Asian region is not associated with extreme weather, which began to hit most regions in Indonesia, particularly in Sumatra. They said starting this weekend, some regions are entering moderate El Nino or dry season phase, as happened in 1991 and 1998. Residents are encouraged to remain on alert while the government continues its efforts to anticipate the impact of the extreme weather in the country. And listener, that was Focus. Listener, coming up next, here is headlines taken from several dailies published in Jakarta Today, Monday, June 29, 2015. We start from Kompas Daily, which writes in its headline, early homebound traveling to avoid congestions. Listener, people who will be going home on Idul Fitri Festivity 2015 are advised to start choosing the best time to begin their homebound traveling. Early homebound traveling before the Eid is expected to be safer than on Lebaran or Idul Fitri Day. Ministry of Transportation predicts the peak of land homebound traveling will occur on the D-2 or 2 days before Eid. With not so good condition of the infrastructure, it is estimated there will be congestion in a number of places, especially at the toll gate of Pejagan Highways in Brebes, Central Java Province. Media Indonesia in its headlines writes boosting state budget absorption. Listener, Indonesian Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro revealed bitter fact on government's expenditure until the closing of the second quarter, which reaches around 8%, of the revised budget target by 2015, amounting 275.8 trillion rupiah. Bambang added the only way to accelerate the absorption of capital expenditures is the ministry or agency budget must accelerate the budget withdrawal. However, Directorate General of Budget, Ministry of Finance, Askolani, said the government has increased funding
to the infrastructure component so that the amount of capital expenditure in the revised state budget 2015 reaches 290.3 trillion rupiah. One of the ministries which has low absorbing capital expenditure is the Ministry of Transportation. Koran Sindo in its headlines writes stop football disputes. Youth and Sports Minister Imam Nahrawi is urged to immediately revoke decree on freezing association PSSI. It must be done to save the future of Indonesian football. The decree on freezing PSSI, which led to FIFA sanctions on March the 30th, made Indonesia become amateur football. And we end today's headline with Business Indonesia, which writes Greece at risk of default, market recovery threatened. Commodity markets and global foreign exchange potentially depressed during the next 4 months when Greece fell into default. As for the opportunities, composite stock price index flushed again this week, assessed the greater due to the risk of collapse of the Greek banking. At the end of last week, Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras chose to hold a referendum on July the 5th so that the people can choose whether to accept any renewal term bailout package from the creditor countries or not. State party creditors filed a reservation to Greece in the form of budget cuts to civil servant salaries and tax rises. Director of PT Equilibrium Commodity Futures said commodity and foreign exchange markets will be affected significantly when Greece actually in default. And listener, that was headlines for today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome to News in Brief. The Research and Technology and Higher Education Ministry is set to establish a task force aimed at cracking down on the issuance of fake degrees following recent report of higher education institutions conducting such illegal practices. Entering the deliberation of the 2016 state budget, the House of Representatives has started a rally support for a constituency fund plan that will give each lawmaker control of 20 billion rupiah to finance their respective electoral district. The government has spent only 8% of its infrastructure budget in the first 6 months of this year due to red tape, failing to provide a much-needed boost to Indonesia's slowing economy. Sumba Expedition 2015 will be held by HIFOS, an international human development organization based in the Netherlands, on August 29th until September 12, 2015. Ketapang Regency Administration has started to develop investment in food sector by opening cassava plantations and tapioca flour factory. A railway connecting downtown Jakarta to Soekarno-Hatta International Airport will be opened to the public in September 2016, according to State Railway Operator Kereta Api Indonesia, KAI. Based on the Economist Intelligence Unit projection, Indonesia and Mexico are predicted to replace the position of Russia and Italy as part of 10 countries of the world's biggest economy. There was News in Brief.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Gorontalo province, so stay tuned. Listener, there is a village in West Gorontalo which is on the coast of Tomini Bay. It is Toro Siaje. This village, which has existed since 1901, is home to the Bajo tribe, who are renowned for their seamanship. Today, Toro Siaje has become a beautiful tourism village and presents another fascinating aspect of Gorontalo. Toro Siaje Marine Village is located 600 meters from the land of Popayato Sub-District, Pohuwato Regency. It is around 7 hours by land transportation to the capital city of Gorontalo. On arriving at Toro Siaje, you will be welcomed by rental boats around the dock. It takes around 10 minutes to sail across to Toro Siaje. Arriving at Toro Siaje, visitors will be welcomed by a signboard "Welcome to Bajo" and a cluster of stilt houses. The stilt houses at Toro Siaje are made from wood. Every house is connected along a 2-meter-wide corridor, which functions as the main street. This walkway is 2.2 kilometers long and is in a U-shaped pattern. Going around the houses at Toro Siaje by boat is very enjoyable. At Toro Siaje, almost all the villagers have a floating net under their house to cultivate giant kingfish and epinephalus. The village is around 3,000 meters. Although located on the water, Toro Siaje village has a badminton court, kindergarten, elementary school, middle school, and mosque. Thank you.
Listener, the village was declared as Marine Tourism Village in 2007 by the local government. Torosiaje offers quite amazing marine tourism. At this village, visitors can see the daily activity of villagers who are mostly fishermen. And do not forget to witness the sunrise and sunset at this village, because the scenery can make you come again to Torosiaje. Besides offering the beautiful seaside panorama, the serenity makes visitors feel comfortable in Torosiaje. At this village, visitors can also enjoy various kinds of seafood. Torosiaje derives from a word toro in the Bajo language. Toro means Tanjung or bay, and Siaje or Sihaji was the name of an early villager who first settled in this area. In 1901, there were only 4 still houses belonging to Bajo tribe, while another villager still lived on a boathouse and kept moving from one place to another. In the 1960s, the local village chief called Punggawa commanded the residents who still lived on the boat to build and to live around the water. The Bajo tribes are known as adventurers and like to move with their boat houses. The Torosiaje villages have tried to live on land. In 1980, the social office moved 125 families to the land, which is known as Torosiaje Jaya Village, and gave them land. Because it was difficult for them to do new work, most of the villagers decided to go back to their village on the sea and become fishermen again. Now, Torosiaje is not only inhabited by the Bajo tribe, but also other tribes such as Gorontalo, Bugis, Mandar, Buton, Minahasa, Java, and Madura people, who are mostly Muslims. Torosiaje has become a modern village occupied by around 1,400 people. Listener, are you interested in staying the night at Torosiaje Jaya Village? Please plan your time to come to this fascinating village in Gorontalo Province, Sulawesi. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Ke Dokter Mata, which is in English means going to the optometrist. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice loudly, and you can repeat after me.
Dokter mata. Dokter mata, which means optometrist. Pertama kali, which means the first time. Mata, mata, which means eye. Formulir, formulir, which means form. Kurang jelas. Kurang jelas, which means unclear. Bertanya. Bertanya, which means asking. Menyerahkan. Menyerahkan, which means to give. Loket. Loket, which means counter. Silahkan duduk. Silahkan duduk, which means take a seat. Dipanggil. Dipanggil, which means be called. Nama. Nama, which means name. Mendapat. Mendapat, which means to get. Nomor. Nomor, which means number. Naik. Naik, which means go up. Lantai empat. Lantai empat, which means fourth floor. Tunggu. Tunggu, which means wait. Di depan. Di depan, which means in front. Ruang dokter. Ruang dokter, which means the doctor's office. Membayar. Membayar, which means to pay. Kasir. Kasir, which means cashier. Obat. Obat, which means medicine. Apotek. Apotek, which means farmasi. Di samping. Di samping, which means next or beside.
Listener, now we give you an example of conversation entitled Ke Dokter Mata, or in English means going to the optometrist. The conversation is between A. Fikran and B. Nita.
Selamat sore. Selamat sore, which means good afternoon. Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Ada yang bisa saya bantu, which means can I help you? Anda baru pertama kali ke sini? Anda baru pertama kali ke sini, which means is this your first time here?
Selamat sore. Selamat sore. Saya baru pertama kali ke sini. Which means good afternoon. Yes, it is my first time here.
Kalau begitu, silahkan isi formulir ini. Kalau begitu, silahkan isi formulir ini. Which means, okay, please complete this form. Silahkan tanya kalau ada yang kurang jelas. Silahkan tanya kalau ada yang kurang jelas. Which means, you may ask me if it is not clear. Setelah itu, serahkan formulir ini ke loket A. Setelah itu, serahkan formulir ini ke loket A. Which means, after that, take the completed form to counter A. Silahkan duduk sampai nama Anda dipanggil untuk mendapat nomor. Silahkan duduk sampai nama Anda dipanggil untuk mendapat nomor, which means please wait until your name is called to get the number.
Terima kasih. Terima kasih, which means thank you.
Setelah mendapat nomor. Setelah mendapat nomor, which means after getting a number. Silahkan naik ke lantai 4 dan tunggu di depan ruang dokter. Silahkan naik ke lantai 4 dan tunggu di depan ruang dokter. Which means, please going upstairs to the 4th floor and wait in front of the doctor's office. Setelah diperiksa, which means after check up. Silahkan Anda membayar di kasir di sebelah sana. Silahkan Anda membayar di kasir di sebelah sana, which means please you pay at the cashier over there. Setelah itu, silahkan ambil obat di apotek di samping kasir. Setelah itu, silahkan ambil obat di apotek di samping kasir. Which means, after that, please take your medicine at the pharmacy next to the cashier.
Terima kasih, which means thank you. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, I introduce you Savitri. Savitri is an Indonesian practice singer who prepares to sing keroncong songs. Well, listener, now let's listen to a song entitled Payung Fantasi by Savitri. Here is the song.
Hey.
Payung Fantasi is a song composed by Ismail Marzuki, a great Indonesian composer who also created a number of national songs. His name is immortalized as an art building, Taman Ismail Marzuki in Salemba, Central Jakarta. This song contains the lyrics, which is a praise for the beauty and elegance of woman. Cheerful rhythm of the song is more charmingly presented by Savitri in keroncong genre. Although she is best known as a singer who sings the Javanese songs, Savitri is capable of singing keroncong with modern touches and enjoyable. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Sampul Surat. Happy listening. This song tells the story of a man who has long met with her lover and felt a deep longing, until one day a letter came from his lover. But how disappointed and distressed he is when he knows it is just an empty love. Listener, Savitri is a singer of Japanese songs who then enjoys to sing old songs which were repackaged with Keranjang music with a modern twist. Since 2009, she has released several Keranjang albums in lounge. Her voice is soft, indulging the sense of hearing with the accompaniment instrument of ukulele, violin and flute. Keranjang, which was previously identified as the songs of the old age, is sung by Savitri with soft and suitable voice which can be enjoyed by young listeners. In 2009, Savitri launched the Infinite Heritage Volume 1 and Volume 2 albums and Cross Culture in 2010 and Refiling Swin Romance in 2012. Uniquely, the Keranjang songs sung by Savitri in launch are not only in Indonesian language, but also a number of songs in English language. The songs include Beautiful Girl, It's Now or Never, and Can't Help Falling in Love. Well, listener, to conclude our musical program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Juwita Malam and Aryati by Savitri. Here are the songs.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 1-0011 Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.